The text, friends, is from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 16. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until we are favored with a sweet love visit from Christ, we cannot really use this language. When I was under the law in bondage, I would have liked to have been able to say this, but I could not for fear of presumption. But when a sinner is brought from under the curse of the law into the liberty of the gospel, and the Holy Ghost then reveals Christ to the soul, then Christ will claim the sinner and allow such an one to claim him in return. Sometimes we sing, "Come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. Leave us not to empty notion, but from bondage set us free." Notion's the harlot test by which the truth's reviled, a child of fancy, richly dressed, but not the living child. So when the Holy Ghost quickens a sinner, he feels that he is wounded with an arrow from the Almighty. The Hebrew of the hymn writer says, "Thus the eternal counsels ran, Almighty love, arrest that man, stop him from his going in the broad way to destruction, and guide his feet into the way of peace. I felt the arrows of distress, and found I had no hiding place." And a believer, when he's first quickened, even though he may have been brought up under the sound of the gospel, he may think to himself, "I must make myself better, exposed to an omniscient God. Thou God seest me." And thus he begins to work hard for life, thinking that if he does his very best and just fails in a few points, somehow God will have mercy upon him and not consign him to hell. But you see, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh living be justified. And so the Holy Ghost kills his legal hope by blasting all his gods, emptying him from vessel to vessel, driving him from every false refuge of lies. And then he thinks, "Well, God is still against me. I've done my very best, but he still shuts out my prayer. He's still against me as a sin-avenging God in his holy law." And the sinner finds that he is bankrupt, poverty-struck, nothing left of his own. But strange to say, the poorer the sinner, the more welcome to Jesus. And few, if any, come to Jesus until they're reduced to self-despair. Long we either slight or doubt him, till when all the means we try prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry. The law then was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But when the soul is set at happy liberty, he is no longer under the schoolmaster. Ye have become dead to the law by the body of Christ, and are married to another, even unto him that is risen from the dead, that ye should bring forth fruit unto God. No fruit bearing under the law, but now when the Lord makes the marriage complete, when he makes the union closer yet, when the Holy Ghost glorifies Christ by taking of the things of Jesus and revealing them with sweet unction and saving power to the soul, the sinner is no longer afar off, he's made nigh by the blood of Christ. And the Holy Ghost sweetly persuades the sinner, this is the person whom you need. Close in with him, draw near unto him, let all fruitless searches go which perplex and tease you. Thus the apostle says, that I might know him, I want to know his life eternal, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You're no longer conformed to this world, because the Lord has afflicted you in the day of his anger and spoiled you to your former pursuits. After I've been under the law for 4 years, I've scarcely strength to go through a day's work. But when the Lord was revealed, then there's a gradual building up process, a feeding. It's no good giving food to a full soul, but to an hungry soul every bit of thing is sweet. And how sweet Christ is. Not only his sweet name, but also his glorious person and the suitability of his grace to sinners. So not only is joined to the Lord now, but he knows what grace is by partaking of it. To see good food and wine is not to eat and drink, but so that we might each experience what we have just been singing. Jesus draws the chosen race by sweet, resistless grace, by invincible grace. A sinner under the law in bondage might think, well, I shall never rejoice anymore, and so heavy-spirited, cast down, a mystery to myself, no one else understands me. Some might say, well, go into company and enjoy yourself, but it's the soul that needs something, you see. Worldly pleasures, they grow, earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. But the sinner finds, as soon as he is bound up together in the bundle of life with Christ and his people, that there is in Christ strong consolation, that there are bowels and mercies, and that there is the comfort of divine love. And though all men may cast you out, the Lord will take you in. What a glorious truth the Pharisees spake, though it might have been with a measure of self-righteousness. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. If we look at our sins and ponder on ourselves too long, it will indeed sink us lower. Sometimes it seems impossible for such a black, vile sinner to be saved. The spouse says, I am black, black in self, but oh, to turn away from sinful self to the Lord himself. Black in self, comely as the curtains of Solomon, in Christ. And you know, if the Lord takes you in, he will speak to you. He will say, thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. And then, when a sinner ceases from his toiling and rowing and enters into the Sabbath of God's love, he finds true rest, true peace, solid joy, lasting pleasure. And the Lord causes him to feed. They shall feed by the ways, and their pastures shall be upon all high places. And not only the believer is brought now to feed, but the Lord himself feeds. He feedeth among the lilies. What does he feed upon? Well, the art ravishing beauties of his spouse. How fair is thy love, and my sister, my spouse, how much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast overcome me with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. She is only reserved for Christ who died, surrendered, sequestered to the crucified. Oh, sometimes the Lord will bring you into his banqueting house, and his banner over you will be love. And this divine love, this ineffable love shed abroad in your heart, will cause you to love in return. It will dissolve the frozen heart, and you'll be able to say then with Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. The king is held in the galleries of grace, and the believer says to Christ, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Unless thou tell all thy name to me, with all thy sweet enjoyments bless, and say, Christ died for thee. This will make your happiness complete. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. And not only saved by the Lord, but saved in the Lord. For if any man be in Christ, by sweet experience, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. The winter is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. The voice of the turtle, that still small voice, is heard again in our land. Not much singing of birds in the winter. But when the springtime comes, the Lord says, Arise, my love, come apart. He said to his disciples on one occasion, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, because there was much coming and going. So the Lord will draw you to himself. He will reveal himself. True religion is by revelation. Paul said, when it pleased God to reveal in me, not only to reveal to him, but to reveal in me his son Jesus Christ, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, he conferred with the God of heaven. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Go into the city, it shall be shown thee what great things thou must suffer for my sake. And also he had to yield the sweet obedience of faith to Christ's loving commands in the gospel. Sometimes the Lord will say to you, when you get weary of earth, weary of yourself, and weary of your sins, he will say, Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. When he does give you rest, afterwards he will say, perhaps, Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When do we find, perhaps, and say that none are so tried as we? The yoke doesn't seem to be easy then. It is when unbelief sets in, gloomy doubts and fears, when we lose sight of Christ and are looking upon the things which are seen instead of upon the things which are not seen. Moses endured, has seen him who is invisible. Can it be said of you concerning Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye seem not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And then a sweet love, was it from Christ, this special, peculiar favour manifested, will drive out the fear of death and hell. How solemn it is for any poor worm of the earth to launch out of time into a vast eternity. Sometimes we feel so unprepared. What can prepare us then? Will the Lord come in? It is the voice of my beloved, lo, he cometh. Leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills, he shows himself through the lattice work of the gospel. My beloved appeareth at our window, showing himself through the lattice. So Jesus will not always hide himself. Sometimes we find our sins to be a barrier, and sometimes may think, well, is his mercy clean gone forever? Has he in anger shut up his tender bowels of compassion? Will he be favourable no more? Well, the Lord will appear once more. He will turn your captivity like streams in the south. And oh, to drop into his sea outright. The 6 days' noise and toil and care are ended then, and then there is an entering into Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And if you are made a new creature in Christ Jesus, you'll know the difference then between a mere form of godliness and the sweet, saving, unctuous power thereof. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is not creature power. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. He knows how to refresh his heritage when it is weary, and to strengthen them out of Zion. So the Lord puts it underneath his everlasting arms of love and mercy. And his love is wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The spouse says, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love until he please. She did not want him to be an hasty guest, but to abide in her. See, the Lord doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He takes up his abode in his people. I will dwell in them. I will serve them. They are my people. They shall say without presumption, Thou art our God. Oh, if he gives you one taste, he will come again. He's not a miserly, beggarly lover. No, he comes often. Thy countenance let me often see, and often thou shalt hear from me. He will speak peace and pardon, but let them not turn again to folly. Oh, you say, that's my weakness. I've got such a wretched, wandering heart. I would concentrate entirely upon the Lord, and that constantly. Thus the spouse says, I am jealous of my heart, even when favoured, lest it should once from thee depart. Let my name be well impressed as a fair signet on thy breast, till thou hast brought me to thy home, where doubts and fears can never come, and thy countenance let me often see, and often thou shalt hear from me. And then when the Lord comes to you, oh, he'll wean you from all your idols. We're so often guilty of this. What the Lord speaks of, and my people, they've committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountainhead, and they've hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water. And sometimes, alas, there are inordinate affections, an overestimating of creatures, making an idol of some creature of a day. And oh, the dreadfulness And we feel that when we have wandered from Christ, we feel no better than the dog returning to his vomit again, or the sow that was washed to a wallowing in the mire. Will the Lord still have compassion? Will he multiply pardon? So lean, so barren, so dry and dead, so far off from God, the sinner says to himself, where have I got to? Where indeed? You haven't wandered with your feet, but with your heart. And the backsliding heart shall be filled with his own ways. And there's nothing worse than that, really. Oh, the psalmist said, return. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Nothing in nature or in grace so fair as Jesus' face. So we have to come back like the poor prodigal. He couldn't eat of the husks that the swine did eat. He must have clean provender, and that which had been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. If you are taught of the Lord, you'll not feed upon cunningly devised fables. You want some solid food to strengthen you, to build you up upon our most holy faith. And so after the sinner's been brought low with a witness, now the Saviour begins to build him up. There's a partaking of Christ. John says we behold his glory, the glory of his grace, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And out of this fullness have we received, and grace for grace. Not grace for good deeds, good tempers or frames. If it were so, we should soon be cut off. But sovereign, rich and free. And then when the idols have departed, oh, as we said this morning, when the Saviour came into the temple and saw the tradesmen there, he made a whip of small cords and he drave them all out. And that's what the Lord will do for you. Subdue your sins, your iniquities, wean you from all your idols, and then faith will be in lively exercise upon his glorious person. That faith which purifies the heart, that faith which worketh by love. And the King will then be held without any idols. Whom have I in heaven but thee? O Lord, there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. If you come to that, that will be heaven below. It will be a foretaste of heaven above, and not give you a foretaste and then lose you at last. He giveth more grace, so that the sinner is built up upon our most holy faith. At one time I felt it a trial to give a hymn out at a prayer meeting as a young believer, but not so now. Why? Well, I trust there has been a growing in grace, so that now we are enabled under the sweet anointings of grace to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. Oh, my beloved is mine. What can you want more than that? You know, if you come to this experience, you'll not envy the millionaire. Envy and pride and lust depart, and all his works high praise. How wonderful to taste and see the spotless Lamb of God visiting a vile sinner. Oh, he beautifies the meek with salvation. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour, that special, peculiar favour thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Will this glorious person, who reigns at heaven's high court as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, does he still condescend to men of low estate to lift them up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, ultimately to make them inherit the throne of his glory? He dares. He couldn't get very far without another touch of his love, but it does come day by day. Oh, and you might say, well, I wish I could love him more and serve him better. And you will, because he is the pearl of great price, which when a man found, he sold all that he had that he might possess it. And so covet earnestly this best gift. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, an interest in the Saviour's blood, your pardon signed and sealed on to the conscience by the Holy Ghost, and peace with God. We said earlier, if any man be in Christ, then he's a new creature. And Paul says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. So you're no longer twain, but joined unto the Lord, and of one spirit within, bound up together in the bundle of life with Christ and with his people. And then there will not only be a love to Christ, but a peculiar love to his people. He that loveth him that begat, loveth them also that are begotten of him. You can't help it. There's a drawing together, a union sweet. You can't feel a union with an ordinary man who knows nothing of these things. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But those that are taught of the Lord, there is a union. Oh, in the Psalms we read, behold, how good, how joyful a thing it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon that fell upon the hill of Zion. It is like the precious ointment that fell upon the head of Aaron, that ran down to the skirt of his clothing. For there the Lord commanded his blessing, even life forevermore. What a mercy it is when the Lord takes in a sinner. He's no longer lonely and solitary. How shall I put thee amongst the children, O Lord? Thou knowest, and he does. He knows how to set the solitary in families and to bring them among the princes of his people. And oh, you'll then have that desire, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What for? To behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. You see beauty then in Christ. What a mercy if you do, because some say of him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's like a root out of a dry ground. Who is God that we should obey him? What profit would there be if we pray unto him? Well, the Christian, what does he say? Oh, Christ says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Brother says of him in heaven, there the red rose of Sharon unfolds its hearts and bloom, fills the air of heaven with ravishing perfume. Oh, to behold its blossom, while with its fragrance fanned, where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. My beloved is white and ruddy, none can compare with him. Oh, and there's a worshipping of him, a holding of him, a clinging to him. And he does reveal himself. You know, Joseph, who is a type of Christ, he did not reveal himself to his brethren, but first, when they went down into Egypt, he spake roughly to them, and said there were spies. But when they came afterwards, He could not refrain any longer. And he commanded the Egyptians to go out while he revealed himself to his brethren. Sometimes the Lord will command outsiders to go out while he reveals himself to you. I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. And they were troubled at his presence, but he forgave them. It was not you that sent me, it was God. For there are yet 5 years of famine, in the which there shall neither be hearing nor harvest. And eventually they dined with him. So the Lord will bring you into the banqueting house when he makes himself known to you. Oh, it'll not be Satan transformed into an angel of light. Be no wild fancy of your brain. It will be your beloved. No one else but Christ himself. And though he does grant a feast of fat things, of wines on the lees well refined, of fat things full of marrow, so the soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Then the mouth will praise him with joyful lips when the Lord has appeared. Remember Leah when she bare Judah. After the heart of nature's sorrow and anguish, she said, when deliverance came, now will I praise the Lord. Now will I praise. This people have I formed for myself. They are to the praise of the glory of his grace, and they are accepted in the beloved. And then not only does Christ take in a sinner, but the Father looks upon the sinner in Christ with complacency. Out of Christ, and this is awful, God is a consuming fire. So then there is only one refuge for sinners, and that is Christ himself. I think we said this morning, the Conies are a feeble folk, but they make their abode in the rock. And so you will fly to Christ. Where must the sinner flee who finds himself undone? On what kind hand rely? Eternal wrath to shun. Can wit or wisdom help him out, or bring a lasting peace about? No, must come to Christ or perish. I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try. If I stay away, I know I must forever die. So the Father looks upon the sinner in his dear Son and accepts him in Jesus. The Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have known that I came forth from God. Now then, says Paul, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, by us we pray you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So you'll feel that you are complete in Christ, accepted in the beloved, who of God the Holy Ghost, is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All is ours if Christ is ours. And then you'll be able to cast all your burdens upon him if he takes you in. He can manage all your affairs far better than yourself. We're often grovelling here below and trying to sort out our affairs, but if we take the matter to the Lord in prayer, he will solve all our problems, make the rough places plain and the crooked places straight, and lead you forth by the right way. And you know, Christ says, I am the way. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall go in and out and find pasture. These are Jehovah's shalls and wills. So what a precious, needful thing is the Lord and Saviour. Zion shall his mercy sing now, henceforth, and ever. You might say, what about it when these sweet lovers its end? Well, alas, we're so foolish as to come down from the mount and to return to our sad state by nature, sometimes even dissatisfied for want of God, though oft of him have nearer thought. Yet though we forget the Lord sometimes, his loving kindness changes not. The man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, from that blessed city Jerusalem to that cursed city Jericho, he went down, and it's easy to go downhill than what it's to go uphill. We prove that as we get older. And he fell among thieves, and had no pity, no compassion. They left him half dead, bleeding. And the priest and the Levite just had a look, and they went by on the other side. They did not want to become involved. The Good Samaritan, typical of Christ, came just where he was and poured in the oil and wine, not in a miserly, beggarly way, but abundantly. Give strong drink to him that is ready to perish, and the wine of the kingdom to those who are of heavy hearts. And heaviness in the heart of man causes it to stoop, but a good work from the Lord, or a sweet love visit, will make it glad. You say, well, I'm so sad, all these things are against me, I shall never rejoice anymore. But you will, because the Lord will turn your captivity like streams in the south. Does not Jesus say, if you can't come to him, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. I will come to you. It doesn't come empty either. Full of love, full of grace, rich blessings are in store in Grace's magazine. And who are they for? For the poor and the needy. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, their tongue faileth with it. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Jacob, will not forsake them. Thy bread shall be given thee, thy water shall be sure. But you will prove this also: man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He lives upon Christ. Yes, he is the living bread, solid food here. And the prodigal came home, and it was a long time in coming back. I remember many years ago, when Mr. Croft was about to baptize Mr. Robert Swan, he said to him, you've been a long time coming, but you've come at last, you've come at last. So the prodigal, and you know, when he had spent everything, he began to be in want. He had no money left then, and also his false friends forsook him. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbour. And no man gave unto him, no man gave unto him. And he proved the tender mercies of the wicked to be cruel. And what was worse, God sent a mighty famine. God sent a mighty famine into that land to edge up his way and to cause him to come to a right decision. Oh, he was too proud even when he was in rags and poverty to come back. He was a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But when the famine came, he realized if he stayed there much longer, he would die of hunger. And they that die of hunger are worse than they that die by the edge of the sword. For these die for want of the fruits of the field. But this mighty famine caused him to come to a decision. I will arise and go to my father, not leave it till tomorrow, might perish before tomorrow. I will arrive and go to my flock. And he came back with confession. This may be a sweet word to you sometimes. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're not confessed unto an earthly priest, but to the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, one who can have compassion upon the ignorant and upon them that are out of the way. And the Lord can bring you in. When he got home, oh, there's not only the wedding garment, but there was also a banquet. The father knew that a crumb would not suffice because his son was ravenously hungry. And so it was a case of this. He told friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly. Oh, beloved, to live upon his precious death, his face divinely passed, the language of his dying breath, see how she holds it fast. And it was very sweet to be received by his father and to be taken in once more. The father did not cut him out of his will. The father did not say, I'm having nothing more to do with you because of your waywardness. No, he was still his son. This thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Why did he say he was dead? Well, the word says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. She's dead to God. She might be alive unto this world, and fully so, but dead to God. And I will say this, that anything and everything which takes off your mind and heart from Christ will prove a snare to your soul. A snare to your soul. Oh, to keep the Lord always before the eye of faith. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. But oh, he just came to his people here below. Perhaps in some time past, in a time of trial, and the Lord might have spoken this to you, when you thought no man cared for your soul, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you've received that promise, believed it, and are assured of it, and firmly believe that the Lord, in spite of your waywardness, will never leave you. I've bound thee up secure. Thou art mine. Thou still art his peculiar care. He'll surely turn and smile again, and nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. And so rejoice in the Lord always, says Paul to the Philippians. And again I say, rejoice. Rest in the Lord. You can't find rest anywhere else. You see, Naomi, I said to Ruth, shall I seek rest for thee, my daughter? Where did she find rest? In Boaz, her husband. And so the believer finds rest in the bridegroom with some, I will give you rest. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. And what desire have you left when Christ appears? Well, more of himself, more of himself. Oh, to be changed from glory into glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. And you know, sometimes we long for home. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But there is in heaven a better and an enduring substance. No heart wanderings there, no backslidings, constant worship. Having the Lord, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost constantly, seeing Jesus face to face without a glass between. There the wicked cease from troubling, there the weary be at rest, and say, well, shall I reach the port at last? Well, you will, because the Lord will give you more grace, and grace will triumph and reign. You say, well, I'm afraid of myself, I'm such a sinner inwardly. Well, the Canaanite will dwell in the land of the heart, right down to the Jordan of death, but grace will superabound through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. They drave out the inhabitants of the mountains, because that they could not drive out the inhabitants of the valleys, because they had chariots of iron. But the Canaanites were only allowed to be hewers of wood and drawers of water. Grace shall reign. And you see, even in heaven, the top stone shall be brought forth with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it, and to him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests to our God. We shall reign with him forever and ever. Oh, sometimes you may sing with the hymn writer, thus something, Saviour, may I be.